Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing today? This is Psychic Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio. here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. Today's show, we're going to be talking about, it's actually Psychic Talk. What do you think about psychics? I have my guest today is Lawrence J. King. He has a show here on Blog Talk Radio called Book Talk. Welcome to the show, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you ever so much for having me on your awesome show.
Oh, thank you for being here. I thought it was with your bio and everything, it's just the ideal. You've done a lot of things in your life, huh?
Absolutely. I would need 30 hours in a day. Unfortunately, there's not enough time allotted for everything that I'm embarking on at this point.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you could share some of the things with our audience, I'd really appreciate it. I'm pretty sure it'd be... very insightful, because I feel like that you were telling me earlier that you're part Native American.
Yeah, I've got a variety of amazing races and people inside of me, and Native American is also a part of that. I'm from the Algonquin tribe that migrated out of Canada and settled into Upper State New York. Yeah, German, Irish, Dutch, a couple other things, Heinz 57, if you will. And
right.
That makes me representing a lot of different people.
Hmm. So I guess your family tree goes back in many different directions then, too.
Absolutely. All the way back to the 1400s.
And the 1400s.
Story is quite ironic, because my sister, she searched for me for... 25 years and finally found me, and she was a missing link to the family tree. Growing up in school, the family tree stopped at the first branch because I knew nothing. And now she's found me after a long search, and she's pieced all those puzzle parts together.
Hmm. Yeah, it's always good to find the missing piece because it makes everything seem more complete and balanced. I'm pretty sure you found that yourself, yeah.
So, family trees and that kind of thing and going in many directions... I can definitely relate to that.
So, the one thing I was noticing, you have this show here on Blog Talk Radio, and if you could give us a little bit of background how that came about.
Yeah, I'm a six-time published author. My books are all over the world, for that matter, and things like that. So it basically came together because I wanted to benefit others. I have two sites on Blog Talk Radio. One is the published author site, where I'm being interviewed on amazing shows such as yours, Donnie, and across the globe and around the world. And the other site, I try to benefit. I highlight local, regional, national, international published authors, musicians, and people of interest on my Book Talk Radio show. It's starting to take hold pretty good. I've got approximately 2,020-some followers, fans, friends, and listeners. And I'm interviewing people almost on a daily basis, so it's an awesome, awesome show. And a lot of people have given me positive feedback. And I also have a call-in cash and prizes, awards and little tidbits for people, that become a part of this and want to, go in deeper to the show amazing guests such as Professor Eric Kandel. He won the Nobel Prize in Medicine. Bernice Siegel, Corinne Trang, she's the queen of Asian cuisine. So I get all these authors, musicians, and people of interest and have them on my show, and I interview them for basically about an hour, their life story, how it all come to pass. And it's pretty interesting, pretty intriguing, and a lot of people are getting in tune to that.
So I'm pretty sure you've had some interesting things that happen on your show with some of your interviews and people you've met. I mean, I know for a fact when I do this show and people come on here, I learn as much from them, you know, than maybe going through therapy, I guess you'd say. So it seems like it's always a learning experience, and some of the people bring a lot to the table, and it's kind of amazing how many avenues are out there.
Absolutely. It's kind of like your show, The Psychic Journeyman. In my opinion, life is a journey. You know, it's a dance. You learn as you go. And as I just said, yeah, I'm meeting some amazing people, picking their brain, you know, picking interest in what they do, finding out what they're about, and actually becoming a part of that. And, you know, I'm growing every day like we all do if we choose to grow and be open to things. And so the universe is just serving me up some wonderful, wonderful and amazing people at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we've had some amazing, not just with the guests, but we've also had people who've called in, and it seems like there's always a message in something. Oh, I should say, actually, honestly, it's almost like a message in everything that happens, everything that crosses our path. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. You can have a teacher in everything that crosses your path, or if you cross their path, if you're open and your eyes are wide open and you're accepting thereof, you will definitely learn a valuable lesson in all things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things that we've had some things on here in the show where people call in, and we had one particular lady, I think everybody kind of got real quiet for about, I don't know, about 10 minutes because of some of the things that she was just expressing of her gratitude for actually being alive, which it was kind of like, it's kind of amazing how she expressed it here on the show. So I'm really getting to the point where I believe that maybe not everybody believes in God, but I think everybody is of God. What is your opinion about that?
And I hear what you're saying. Religion and philosophies and belief systems, I believe they all point to the same direction. And if applied correctly, then they are right, the way, the truth, and the light in all things. Unfortunately, there's a lot of, you know, things going on out there that people are, in fact, killing each other in the name of religion, and that is out of line, off the hook, and should be stopped immediately. Religion, philosophy, and belief systems, they go hand in hand. Every religion and belief system has basically the same goal. You know, life is a journey. You're here to learn, and when you're through learning, or your time has come, you've served your purpose, then you check out of here. And you go through life, you know, if you don't go through life with blinders on, then things, you know, tend to go better.
So do you believe that we pretty much choose when we leave?
That is also a strong possibility. From a Buddhist perspective, which I am, also Native American, I believe basically that, you know, we create in life the exact reproduction of our thought process. If you think it, you can be it. If you can, you know, if you see it, you can be it. You know, dream the impossible, shoot for the stars, and any point in between, if you land there, that's cool too. But the main objective is to shoot for those stars. Other than that, you're wasting away and you're not fulfilling your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was interested to say that people, these people who call themselves, what do they call those bombers? I didn't want to even... car bombers, the people carry the people believe that they have a certain mission to go into a place with a bomb on their back and blow people up. I mean, when it comes to those things, do you think that's more of self-centeredness than it is for the good of God?
Well, I don't think that anyone should blow anyone up in the name of anything, period.
Right.
Pretty much straightforward. That's not representing the way, the truth, and the light. That is not representing anything that I would want any part of. Because life is a journey, and it's about learning as you go. And in that journey, you know, you often meet people that, you know, do not believe or see the things that you do, and that's okay. That's why mm-hmm. we're all different. If we were all the same, then this world would be a very boring place. It's all about acceptance and tolerance and coexistence for the sake of humanity and a better world.
Right. Because, I mean, that's what I was thinking, too. I just was kind of amazed when people sit and talk about this. And then when you get to the root of the whole thing, you find out that it's more about virgins on the other side. And so it wasn't really about religion. It was about obtaining something for the oneself in a selfish way of taking people out because of it. So I was, you know, I sit there and have my own opinions about the whole thing. But I've always wondered what other people think, too, as well. Were you in the service itself too?
Yes, I was in the Army and spent 14 years in Europe. So I've lived among many different cultures and belief systems, and it was really a cool journey. Actually, you know, you could jump in the car and be in places like France in 30 minutes. So that was an eye-opening experience, and I'm very grateful and happy to have had that experience. So I got to experience how people can coexist together in one area and, you know, go on about their day and, you know, be prosperous and productive.
Yes. And I was just answering someone in the chat room, too, saying, where's everybody at? They're on their way. Okay? They're on their way. They're on their. like I was saying before, the one reason... There. The one thing I was talking, my brother was in Germany too. He was in the military for about 2 years. Actually, I think he was in the military for 4 years, and he spent 2 years in Germany. And he said he was actually surprised he actually came back, because he said he liked it over there so much. And I actually saw the guy. I actually saw my brother's girlfriend at the time too, and I'm like surprised he did come back. He was saying she's a beautiful woman, but he said German women have one problem. I said, what's that? He said when they get to a certain age, they start looking like their mothers. So I'm not really sure what that means, but that was his opinion about things. So I don't know if you're going to elaborate on that or not, Larry, but I did kind of think, and I was like, oh my gosh, I mean, what's that mean? I said, I see your girlfriend. She's got this cute little, she was this cute little slender blonde. I mean, I told myself, I said, man, if that was my girlfriend, I don't think I'd be coming back. And he was like, well, you know, it's one of those things, and so therefore he made his decision. He did what he did. I think that's what he's trying to say. I think he was actually trying to tell me he made a mistake, but but in his mind, he made the best decision there was. And you've been in a couple of situations yourself too, Larry, where you've had to make certain decisions that you kind of thought about, but you wasn't too sure about. You still followed through with. Correct.
Absolutely. Yes, and we all have those decisions in life based upon what we did to put ourselves there, and/or what life has dealt us. And it's ironic that you should mention things about Germany and stuff. I spent 14 years over there, mainly and mostly located in Germany, and I taught martial arts there, where the feet and hands, the Korean style mm-hmm. of self-defense. We kicked butt all over Germany, me and around in Europe. And, a lot of ego was involved back in those days. I've now come to my senses and realized that, when you have an ego, it's all about self. And unfortunately, that this is the way our country operates. We operate on the principle of, I got mine, you get yours, and up yours. And that's
right.
Out of line. That's totally out of line. So it's like the, you know, you can joke about, you know, different cultures and nationalities, but in essence, we all bleed red. There is no denying that. That's the bottom line. I guess unless you're an alien or something, I'm told you bleed green. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and what would you do if you actually traced it back and realized you were an alien too and you're from another country? And you know what I'm saying? I mean, when I sit there and think about people talk about being an American, and what's it, you know, being a true white American, or have those certain races that go on, I'm sitting there looking at these people going, do you realize that everybody in this country can trace their source back to another country? So the idea of being, as they call it, the pure race, I don't understand what that means. You're human? You're human. Unless you've got some, like you said before, unless you've got some alien DNA somewhere that we don't know about. And even on that situation, I mean, I've watched Star Trek, humanoid. It's still the same thing. So every time you keep tracing the source back, I mean, if you want to sit here and talk about source, just trace it back to the real source, which that source cannot be argued with or disputed, which, in my opinion, is God. A lot of people call it different things, but like you said, Larry, I think it's really put out there in a good way of saying, you know, you're all coming from different sources, but you're going to meet up at the same source. So like I
Absolutely.
Said before, yeah, it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It's a journey, and all of our pathways to the source may be different, but nevertheless, the end station is to the source.
Yes, you join that church out there, guys, and you'll realize that when you're standing in Judgment Day, which I'm kind of having a difference of opinion about what Judgment Day is all about too itself, but in the pure sense of what it says in the, well, I'm actually debating on that too. I'm just saying from what I've heard from religion, they talk about the Judgment Day and standing before God. And if you look at it, you're not going to have a lawyer. You're not going to have any credit. You're not going to have any character witnesses. It's all you. You know? So you can join the groups, you can join this, you can join that. But when it comes down to the whole thing, it's going to be you and him. And what are you going to do about that whole situation? You're going to sit here and deal with it as it comes, you know? And like that, like I heard, and it was kind of funny, I heard this in a movie, all right? But I think it makes a lot of sense that an individual, it can be a sane, rational, logical, loving, spiritual person. But when you get a group of people together, sometimes those have a tendency to go which way mass consciousness is thinking at the time. So if you have a bunch of racists, more than likely, if you're in the crowd, people have a tendency to go with that kind of consciousness. So I think it's kind of great and a good analogy, because in the sense of thinking of it in a negative sense, if you think of it in a positive sense, it can really work too. But it's the idea of having an open mind about races are more of just different types of people. But when you trace each individual down, they're still spiritual. And the last time I checked, spiritual does not have races.
No, it does not. It's a human quality that we all possess. And lastly, you know, love is the answer. Love is all there is. If you have love in your life, then you've got it all. And that's the bottom line, at least for me. And so heaven and hell, in my mind, is a place on earth. You can put yourself in heaven and or hell based upon your thought process. And after you've thought about it, it's your reactions, your responses. Once
mm-hmm.
you've thought your thoughts and you've reacted to a situation accordingly or improperly, you can put yourself in heaven and hell many, many times during the course of the day. The key here is not to get into the woe is me syndrome. Life
mm-hmm.
sucks. We all have pain and suffering. That's never going to end. So it's try to, you know, get a positive outlook on things and see the positive as opposed to stay into the negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was sitting on the same thing too. And also, you took martial arts too, right?
Yeah, I taught in Europe, and yeah, it was quite successful. I've got in my book, my first book called What the Hell Were You Thinking? There's a lot of little clips in there. I've also got two DVDs that are on the market, Way of the Feet and Hands and Ancient Secrets Revealed. They're both
mm-hmm.
Martial arts highlights from the days that I used to be very active and a teacher in that field. And so, yeah, there's a lot of helpful hints and tips and pointers for people that are in the martial arts and want to, you know, to know it per se and win in competition and things. But lastly, a lot of people don't realize martial arts is, in fact, a spiritual journey.
Yeah, it is, Larry. I actually took martial arts for almost 20 years, too, myself. And I taught for a period of time, too. And the very first thing that I was taught was philosophy before I did anything. You know, the smacking, the kickings, and that kind of stuff. There was philosophy that came first. And so, yeah, I understand exactly what you're talking about. With people have a tendency to go, I want to thump some heads and that kind of stuff, and that's not what it's about. It's about balance.
Sure.
You know
yourself, having been in martial arts, there's a set of circumstances that come together. Usually it's you're either going to get your butt kicked, or you just got your butt kicked, or your mom and dad's afraid that you're going to get your butt kicked. So therefore, they put you in this without the knowledge and the wisdom behind that. So they're thinking,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're going to turn out to be Jackie Chan in 3 weeks and it's all good. No, it don't happen that way. It's a very, very spiritual journey, but you don't see or get into that. And when you first get into it, it's all about, you know, there's different ways also in martial arts to approach and obtain that spiritual journey, you know, picking the bag, you know, letting that energy out that saves you, you know, from being aggressive out here in the world and things. So there's many different techniques that can be applied, you know, to get to the spiritual side of martial arts.
That is true, because, I mean, I know for a fact when I got into it, it was, I got sick of being picked on all the time. You know, and so I went into the whole thing, but I also noticed that one thing, that most of the people that I was thinking were going to kick my butt or were threatening me all the time, it was because I didn't really stand up for myself. And then I found out later on when I stood up for myself, these people were just all nothing but talk anyway. But
absolutely.
I was also a whole lot calmer person. You know, I seriously, I mean, I just felt like, it's like working out. I would work out, do the martial arts and practice and that kind of stuff, the stretching and kind of things, and it just gave me balance in my life. I was calmer. I could deal with my temper a lot more than I could before. I think it was also the kind of thing, how would you put it? It kind of put me in a situation that actually, I think this is where I really started thinking about philosophy and that kind of thing. And there was a little hints of it at that time in my life before I actually started doing psychic work, which didn't happen until, I mean, I've been doing, I guess how would you put this? I've known of being as psychic and spiritual, or actually I would say psychic and doing that kind of thing since I was 10 years old. But, and then I noticed that certain things I was attracted to. Why was I attracted to martial arts? And then when the philosophy thing came in, and then years later when I started doing psychic stuff and really working the spiritual lifestyle, then it all made sense. Because they're basically one and the same. And I was always attracted to martial art movies, as in the Oriental movies, Japanese. I mean, when I watched, personally, when I watched Highlander was more, it wasn't the ideal fighting with swords and that kind of stuff, but there was a certain philosophy about the whole thing that they trained and they did, you know, it's just a way of looking at life. You're going to live forever, so there's certain things you're going to do, there's certain things you're not going to do, and just the idea of living with immortality of, they kind of focus more on pain and that kind of stuff, losing things, but also they taught, if you really watch the movie, if you look at it from a spiritual standpoint of looking at it, they're not really focusing on those things. They're just saying those are part of life, but we continue to go on. But they use immortality as a vehicle to get that across to people. So they can actually focus on today, as in, this is what's going on, this is what you need to focus on, because nothing else exists at this moment. And I'm sure that you've gone through a lot of things and a lot of, in the process of your soul searching too, that you've done the same thing, right?
Absolutely. For sure. There's a lot of different things go on in life, you know, and we either put ourselves in situations and or life deals us a hand of chit, if you will. So at this point in time, then we decide what we're going to do or not do. And I think that is the redefining moment based upon your decisions that gets you to a higher plane and a higher level, and or you stay stuck in the muck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were talking about the other day on the show too about manifestation really doesn't happen until you're living it. So the minute you stop to think about it, you stop everything. But as soon as you go on with your life, then you probably look back and realize that the thing you were trying to manifest, you're actually doing or living, or you already have it, but you didn't notice it. You know, it all happened in the process of living your life, not standing still.
Absolutely. Life happens en route to living.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So, yeah, that's one thing I was thinking, you know, because, I mean, with martial arts in itself, Larry, I mean, how did that come about? I mean, what brought you into where you was actually taking martial arts? I mean, how would you ask the question, how did it all start for you? That actually, what was the one defining moment that actually brought you into and start taking martial arts?
Well, a lot of it was mainly and mostly the military.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a lot of, you know, good teachers and experience and things there. and receive certain awards and degrees and things done. And so after that, you know, because I was in the military and they wanted me to stay and reenlist and become a sergeant, I chose not to. So therefore, I chose to stay in Europe and continue on the course and path of becoming one as a European and teaching my martial arts. It proved to be quite productive. As I said before, it was more of an ego trip than it was a spiritual journey for me back then. I got the spiritual thing later in life. I figured it out, so now I would say I am the total package. But now I no longer teach, per se. I had private students for a while, but now I no longer do that because it's bittersweet, you know. It's really bittersweet. I have some awesome fond memories, but it also hurts a lot, you know, because every time you start teaching, you know, you get someone to come to you, and, you know, it ends up being more trouble than it's worth because the parents will approach you and go, well, why is Johnny not getting promoted? I just gave you $400. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, lady, but Johnny just don't quite get it at this point, so maybe later on. And I used to promote my students not based upon monetarily things. I promoted them based upon performance and the actual knowledge and concepts of the arts.
No, it's kind of gotten out of hand with martial arts in this country. I mean, you know for a fact with the philosophy of martial arts that there's really, when I was training, it was, you had a white belt, there was many levels of brown, and many levels of black, but there was not all these colors. And these colors came in to basically, as you say, well, some of these people are actually trying to please people because of the fear of not having anybody come in. And I guess you would say it's a fear of lack. So they have a tendency to detail it. They're actually letting their client detail what their business is all about instead of them actually taking 100% responsibility for their business and their lives. And it reflects their business that when, you know, oh, shoot, this guy's thinking about pulling his kids out. So all of a sudden we develop this thing called the purple belt. So the parents feel like he's being promoted. When we know for a fact, like you said before, he's really under the cut. And I'm serious. When I was taking, it was kung fu, took karate. I actually studied Korean karate for a while and some other things here and along the way and that kind of thing. And I always noticed, you know, I had a white belt and then I'd go into the browns. And I got promoted pretty quickly with some of the things I was doing, but I was also training under a master too. So it's different. I also read a lot. I also studied a lot. I mean, I do like I do now, constantly acquiring more information. And so when I started doing martial arts, it was the ideal of always focusing on what I could actually give to my clients, give back more. So I was always constantly studying something, Korean, Kung Fu. Kung Fu is a tough one. Yeah. And you usually go through a lot of philosophy, too, before you actually do anything with anything. Breaking boards is not the ideal of strength. It's the ideal of focus. Because you're not actually breaking the board. You're actually going through the board. A lot of people don't understand that concept. So they get into that. So the idea of actually breaking all those bricks and stuff is the idea to go from point A to point B, and the bricks are in the way. So you're going through those. But it's also, which I found out later on too, as I started focusing on energy, it's also in the process of focusing in the energy. It's also the as fitness people call it now, they call it the core. But it's actually, I call it the essence of energy, of taking that energy in your stomach and going outwards and basically taking the energy through your hands. Do you know what I'm talking about, Larry?
I think I said that right. But
I don't know if there's a question in there or not, but I'm just saying I learned a lot in martial arts that I actually still do now, that I just don't crack heads. I actually take it on to people, of actually helping them understand how energy works and where it comes from and the essence of who you are. What I started learning way before then was through martial arts. And actually the word martial art means art forms, which means kung fu, karate. I mean, kung fu, karate. Taekwondo, there we go. Taekwondo. I know. I was trying to think of the name of that freaking thing. Taekwondo. I took that. So, I mean, Larry, I mean, are there many? I was going to bring my friend on, Amy. and introduce her. And hello, Amy. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Donnie. Who's your other guest? I didn't catch his name.
His name is Lawrence J. King. He has a show in here called Book Talk on Block Talk Radio.
Oh, hi, Lawrence. How are you?
I'm doing well, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. You guys are talking about the martial arts. I was just watching. I'm a huge, huge Bruce Lee fan, and I was. They had Fist of Fury on one of the channels here, and I was watching it the other day.
And
I absolutely love him.
He's another one.
Yes, and he's a big philosopher. Like,
yeah,
I had no idea until I started reading about him and his life, and the way he practices martial arts. There was so much of a spiritual nature or component to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love water. Water was
his
favorite.
Yes, be water. Yes.
Yes, water. Be as water. Flow. Everything flows in life. So water was the best metaphor he could use. And there's actually a lot of interviews with Bruce Lee that he, if you watch him talk, he's very passionate about it too. And he doesn't talk about anything. And he actually was the one who developed, he actually took the arts themselves and reformed them, I guess you would say. And he's got a really good, got a bunch of books. But there was one book that he actually did that he just was always talking about. I guess it was his wife came to him and said, well, you're talking about all these things that are wrong with it. Well, fix it and write a book. So he did. And he put it out there. Yeah, so it was like motivation of, you know, I guess you would say the yin and the yang actually working as a balancing in his life, too, was him and his wife. And they were really good for each other.
Yeah, and his martial arts form, Jeet Kune Do, the way of no way.
The two-inch punch. Two-inch punch. You should check that one out. Two-inch punch. Yeah, so I've actually practiced that one. But when you really study it. And Larry, you know, this is some of the things that you study, that some things take a lot of practice. Even with people that have actually been doing it for years, you know, certain forms are just that flow part.
Absolutely. Bruce Lee used to say himself, boards don't hit back.
Boards don't hit back. That's right.
Yeah.
So, because a friend of mine talked about it, I said, go ahead, Larry. I'm sorry. I didn't cut you off.
I said, no, that's okay. And when you're standing in front of a, you know, 6'3", 250-pound dude, then it's time to know what you know, because if you don't, yeah, you know what the outcome of that's going to be. So, yeah, boards don't
hit back.
Yeah,
it's called
people
squash. Mm-hmm. So, Amy, have you ever taken martial arts yourself?
I always, you know, wanted to, but I never did, to be honest with you. My dad took karate for about 5 years, and that was kind of interesting to listen to him talk about what they did in class and whatever, but
mine
I never really got into it.
Well, mine was like, it was like, when I saw it Above the Law, there was a story that Steven Seagal tells him where he goes and sees this old man who actually takes his staff, and he tells himself, and he focuses, and he tells himself he's an oak tree and he's rooted into the ground. And then he asked these five guys to push on the staff and push on him, because he told him, he said, I guarantee you, I will not move. It's focus and concentration and becoming one with whatever element that you was around. And he had these five guys push on him so hard that they actually broke the staff in half, but the guy never moved. And he was like this 90-year-old guy.
Wow.
You know, and I had the same thing that happened to me when I was younger, too. It was some guy that I saw in a gymnasium. And the guy was pushing on the staff, and the staff broke. And now, he wasn't like a little old dude. He kind of looked like a Marine. But you got kind of inspired by that whole thing. And this might sound crazy to some people, but at that moment, I was a big fan of Spider-Man, but also Batman, because I liked Batman because he was actually a human. He used his mind and his brain to actually do all this stuff that I actually made his pledge at that time that I would grow up to be Batman. But and you said it was just the idea of looking for an avenue to give back to people without expecting anything in return and just go, okay, this is what it is. Which I found out in the long term that, you know, balance is balance, and things have happened to me that I can't explain, but I think it's because of there's another part of me that gave so much, then later down the road, something else, sometimes a full circle, it doesn't happen like really quickly in front of you in 5 minutes, but sometimes it does complete itself. Excuse me. But we were sitting there talking about
See, we're, the topic of the show is psychic talk. What do you think about psychics? So, since Amy has nothing, she knows nothing about psychics. What do you think about psychics, Amy?
I think we should ask Lawrence. Is Lawrence a reader?
Actually, Lawrence does card readings for himself and his friends and family and stuff, and he's a very spiritual person. So, Larry.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, Larry, you've done card readings before and that kind of stuff. Because we were talking about this before the show came on. You were talking about the thing that you've noticed that every time you do the cards and stuff for yourself or whoever, it's always round the money and you can't dispute it.
That's right. Dead
right.
On the money. There's no denying it. There's no way out of it. And the beautiful thing about that, at least for me and the experience I've gotten at this point, is it's ever-changing. Today is today. Tomorrow is a brand new day. Things can change.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing with the cards, too. If you don't realize that, we've talked about this before, too. When we were talking about people call us card readers, I don't like that term because I'm not a card reader. I don't sit there and go, you know, this card means this card means that. It's the idea of interpretation of what you hear and feel. And it's like you have a Two of Swords. A Two of Swords means indecisiveness and being stuck between two situations or two people or whatever. But every day it's a regression. There's a person that comes in and it might not mean that at all. It might be totally different. It might be the idea of a person who's actually in the process of buying swords. Which one should I get? It's a simple term. It might sound simple to you, but the next day you have somebody come in and it may be totally different. When you look at the card, if you're not really listening to what's being told to you, it won't make no sense. Because I've had a lot of people. The reason I even started doing a lot of teaching was because people were like, I don't understand the cards because in the book it says this. Well, you're not supposed to be going to the book to find out unless you have a very difficult client who will not believe you unless you give her the definition per se in the book. But it's also guidance leading you to the source of where you're trying to get the message across to your client. So your guides are really helpful because they point you in the right direction, so therefore you can get the message to the person, but also help that person understand or absorb what you're actually saying to them in the process. So the cards are like a vehicle or a tool, but they're not the thing. It's a partnership, like energy. You know, when we have energy in our lives and we have a partnership with that, our lives seem to flow. It's the same thing with readings. How do you feel about it, Larry?
Absolutely. I'm open to a lot of things. So, yeah, things are revealed to us in certain ways. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, be all that you can be in the moment right here, right now. And unless lightning bolts are striking around your feet, then obviously you can be pursuing that, whatever it is. And that when those lightning bolts and signs start coming against you, it's time for you to stop doing what you're doing because it's going to get you in trouble.
That's true, like cell phones. How about you, Amy? What you've done car readings yourself before. I mean, the process is a lot different what people, probably what you've heard, right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I think it depends on the card reader. Like, I use tarot cards in my readings. I use, sometimes I'll break out my Osho Zen or I'll bring out, like, an oracle deck. But, you know, typically when I'm reading the tarot, there's a process that's going on that, as you said, Donnie, involves so much more than just looking at the card and saying, okay, you know, we're going to ask this question. Is this guy going to call? Okay, the Eight of Swords. Well, the Eight of Swords means blah, blah, blah. You know, the cards are just really there for the image, the idea, a focal point. And then I kind of take off from there, you know. So I don't really put too much emphasis on book definitions or what it's supposed to mean. It's what does it mean to me? Because I've had experience with some cards where, you know, the definitions I hold, you could never have read it in a book. You know, it comes from experience. It comes from practice. And everybody's different, you know.
Yes, you'll never find in a book. When I look at the idea, I was looking at my cards the other day, and I was like, oh, remember who you are. And it wasn't the idea of really remembering who you are. It was actually going to a certain focus point of remembering who you were at a certain time, like when you're 18 years old. How much have you relinquished since then? And how much are you ready to acquire back? So, you know, I can look at the card and say, okay, the card says, remember who you are. It's Archangel Michael. You're a powerful, loving creature, created child of God. You're very loved. But if you hear me talk about it, I will start talking way before I even pick the card up.
And a lot of times it'll go along with what I already said, but it's also, I add to it too as well. So there's more information coming. So the card is like a focus point. I'm saying, okay, they need to know this. They need to, one thing they need to focus on remembering who they are, but that's kind of vague. So my angels and my guides give me details to fill in the blanks. So therefore they can go, oh, okay, now I get it. And if they don't get it, it's like prompting them to also, that's what we say when we do readings, it's more of a session. Because we'll sit here and say, okay, you don't, do you understand? If you don't understand, it's okay. It's not the idea of being stupid. It's not that we're saying you're stupid. It's just the idea if you don't understand, it's like too much. Then just ask the angels and guides to help you clarify it, maybe bring it down a notch, and help you out to realize exactly what it means. So, you know, that's you never find that on a card. Or the idea the other day, I told some lady, take quartz crystals and put it and make a circle around you. Take the energy from the environment, channel it through you and the crystals to create your own force field to separate yourself from your environment of what's of subjecting you, so you can actually see things clearer. I never saw it in a book, you know.
Yeah.
So you said, well, you know.
Yeah,
I just,
maybe I just get an overwhelming sense that I'm looking at the cards for some reason. Green, you know, like just really pops into my head, and I'm being told this is a healing color for this person, and then they should really coordinate it more into their either their wardrobe or into their life somehow. And you know, you'd never, there's so much going on, you'd never really get it, you know, otherwise, like in a straight up tarot card reading, you know. Or
yeah, exactly, because I mean,
everyone has a different personality and works in different ways.
Oh yeah, when you're sitting there looking at a person going, okay, I keep seeing this picture of this god-awful looking lady who's wearing these Nikes, god-awful night look, looking Nikes, and she's chasing you around and beating you with a newspaper, and you call her grandma. What the heck's that all about? So they're kind of looking at you. How do you, you know, like, I don't remember. And I was like, okay, let me clarify it for you. And they always come through and say, okay, we didn't say that she was your grandmother. We said that you called her grandmother, grandma. And then it made sense to the person. They said, oh, that's that lady who's the next door. I used to beat us with a newspaper. And I said, yeah, she looks like E.T. And he goes, yeah, it was kind of funny. She was very short, and she used to wear those knee-high Nikes. And she was like 60-something years old. So, you know, we see things that you don't see in the cards. I mean, it's almost like, you know, sometimes with the situation, it's the ideal. Sitting down, look at your cards, and go, okay, what do you hear? What do you feel? The card is like a focus point. It's like crystals. Like crystals. Crystals are very powerful and focused, but you know, you don't look at a crystal and go, okay, this one means, you know, crystals. It's a quartz crystal, which is good for healing and channeling and a lot of things. I used to use quartz crystals for to cleanse my third eye.
Right.
All kinds of things like that. But you know, some people will sit there and tell you quartz crystals mean this, but it means so many things to many people. It also works in different ways, you know. That makes sense,
right,
doesn't it, guys?
Exactly.
I'm so tired.
No, it does.
And Larry.
Yes.
I just wanted to, you know, with the situation of, have you ever worked with crystals or anything? Because you were talking about that there were certain things that worked with you, that you were talking about becoming into spiritual, and that you were kind of arrogant when you were in Germany, and you came to a point in your life where you said basically, and it all came together where you realized that there are certain things that you had to not really sacrifice, but give up in the pursuit of your spiritual lifestyle.
Yes. But I've never done anything with crystals. I don't know too much about it. I know there's a lot of people that have the knowledge to do that. I know, for me at least, I have what is called ESP, and I cannot see things long-term, but I can see things that are happening right here in the right-now moment. I don't go into that too much. I'm not afraid of it. I just don't choose to go there because, as I told you earlier today, once I go there, I need 30 hours already in a day, then I'll need 37 hours to embark upon that path.
Right. So it's kind of fun, a time for everything balancing out. So there's certain things you got to focus on and certain things you got to let go of, huh? Larry?
Yeah, absolutely.
I heard it was like almost like a doorbell. Maybe I was just hearing things in a sense. And
I'm going to have to call back in, Donnie. I have an emergency reading. I just got an email. Oh, my God. I have a client that needs to talk for 15 minutes, so I'm going to call back in at 9.
I hate to
do this to you, but, you know, work calls.
No. Fine. Go do what you got to do. I understand. No big deal.
I'm sorry.
I'll talk to you at 9.
But I'll be in the chat room. You know, I'll still stay logged in. I'll have to call back in like 15 minutes.
Oh, no problem. You know, call back at 9. That'd be great. I'll be okay.
All right, honey. Thanks so much. I'm sorry if this is rude. I apologize to you and your guests.
No duty calls. You're fine.
Thank you. Okay, we'll talk soon.
All righty. Bye bye. Larry, how are you? Larry? Doesn't it really scare you when there's nobody there? Larry! Larry came back. Okay, here we go. Larry?
Yeah?
Yeah, you have...
I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, you actually have your phone on. Your phone number is actually there's you have two lines open. So, Larry? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Amy had to duck out for an emergency reading. So,
okay.
So she said she's going to pop back at 9. So, I mean, if you got to leave at 9 o'clock and you have that hour lot for yourself, feel free. I always tell people, I do have a lengthy show, and it's one of those things that we try to have fun and that kind of stuff, but I understand people and their schedules and that kind of stuff. So if you got to do that, it's no big deal. And it was really, it's one of those things here. So we'll take advantage of the 13 minutes we got. But so in the course of your show, you've had different authors on your show from all different reigns of life, right?
Absolutely.
So you try to top on a lot of topics, do you?
Yeah, I generally do my research, and they send me their books, and then I become informed about their subject matter, and then put together a list of questions that I think my listeners would be, interested in knowing about. And we generally have a pretty good show so far. No one has come on and said, well, you suck, and so. I'm thinking it's pretty good at this point.
Sometimes when you sit here and have people come on the show and you're just like, okay, you don't know how it's going to go. I mean, have you had this happen before? I mean, I just need to ask the question. So it was like a personal question, okay? Have you ever been in a situation where a guest didn't show up? And you think they're going to show up?
Oh, yeah, I have been there. And a lot of it's generally due to a miscommunication somewhere.
Right.
But the good news is I have a plan B, because I am an author myself. I always go back into my three books and talk about those things. So I generally begin the show with something happened on the way to the laundromat or something, but our guest is not on the line at this point. And so in the interim, I will be talking about my three books, and here we go. So then I start delving into my books, and then usually they'll pop up at some point and or not at all. So, yeah, I can talk about a lot of things.
Yeah. Because there's actually somebody in the chat room called Sasquatch Spirit. For some reason, it just kind of fascinates me. Like, where did you come up with that name? If you can hear me in the chat room, give us an idea of where you came up with that name. That was, we actually could do it. I actually have a show in the morning. It's called The Missing Spiritual Link, where we're actually crossing references with Bigfoot and Sasquatch and tracing them back to source that maybe some people might think are kind of crazy in a sense. Maybe that Sasquatch wasn't really a creature, but maybe a spinoff from an advanced culture that used it as a scare tactic to keep you away from where they're actually hiding out in the mountains.
Yeah.
And there was somewhat. Go ahead, sorry.
Isn't Sasquatch another word for Bigfoot?
Yes. Sasquatch is actually an Indian name for Bigfoot. that the Indians use. And see that people talk about Bigfoot and Sasquatch don't realize that this is an Indian folklore that's been going on for probably as long as the Indians have been in North America. And they've always said that they crossed across the land bridge, across where Alaska's at, and that kind of thing, that when they came here, there's actually stories back in the 1800s that were written in the papers and stuff about encounters with Bigfoot too as well. And the Indians were talking about it. It's like a folklore with them. It's been going on for thousands of years. And it's just not a place where you, like in California, it's actually like a Midwestern thing. I would go probably going from the Mississippi to California. And actually, here in Ohio, we had a couple encounters too where this one guy was freaking out. He was down in this forest that we have over called Sada Trails, the big old Forest National Park. And he said he was watching this. He said he saw somebody walk up and lean up on this tree. And this person, he thought it was a person, actually grabbed the first branch of this tree and was just standing there. And he said it was kind of funny because he thought at first it was a guy in a jacket. And as he got closer, it was a creature. Well, this creature decided to take off and leave. When the guy gets to the tree, he realizes what freaks him out the most is the first branch on this tree is about 10 feet up. So in order for this creature to just kind of casually lean on this tree and grab the branch, the creature would at least have been over 8 feet tall. So we've actually had sightings of Bigfoot here in Ohio too as well. So it can be traced anywhere you want to go. But what we were doing on my show in the mornings, we were tracing certain things that how close to things that you see in the movies, how close to truth are they really? You know? When you see things like, we saw that was back in the 70s. Everybody remember, I used to make jokes about the 70s. People go, do you remember the 70s? I was like, vaguely, you know, party time. But there was a series called The $6 Million Man, where in one episode they actually took and said Bigfoot was actually a very far advanced mechanical robot that this alien race used to keep people away from where they were. They were mining or something under the ground, and they were actually studying humans. So they would use this Bigfoot creature to keep people at bay. But I thought, in some ways, could there be some more truth to that? That actually, because Bigfoot disappears, then you can't find it. But the Sasquatch is the same thing. The bottomless snowman seems to have the same kind of history as well. So I was thinking, well, maybe that's true. But then we traced it down to more of a keeping it to the planet thing, where we were tracing it to Atlantis. That Atlantis had certain creatures or certain things that they was with them to keep people at bay. Or maybe even the ideal, it was just the ideal, some people, because we had this before when we were talking about the Romans saw something, the Greeks saw something, so they thought they were gods, when they could actually be traced back to just being more advanced humans, that they, since they were primitive in themselves, would look at them, since they couldn't do those things, they would look at them as being gods, and maybe it was just technology that they had. But back in those days, there wasn't any technology per se. Then they would take it as being more of a godlike spirit or angels, that kind of thing. Not sad, because I always sit here and said, I was sitting here looking at the Romans, looking at these things as angels and gods, but I still feel like God and the angels still exist. They just were seeing other things that could be traced back to Atlantis, of Atlantis exploring the earth and going out, and there's these primitive cultures everywhere. And they visited the primitive civilizations, so they were so far advanced that people would see them as gods. So I was trying to separate the two, saying, well, God and angels still exist, because I know for a fact my guides and angels, I work with them every day, and God, so I know they exist. But what we're saying is the things that you see in mythology and those kind of things can actually be traced back to a different source. So it was, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes in the mornings I wish I did have more time for that show, but if I really got into this whole thing and got too influenced in the whole thing, I don't think I'd have time for anything else. You find that, Larry, you find yourself getting into a lot of topics that kind of take over your life for a period of time, and you got to kind of like step back and go, okay, we need to redefine this and balance it out because it's taking up too much of my time, and I guess you would say getting obsessed with it. Have you ever done that before?
Oh yeah, many times, and fortunately, it's I'm really deep into it before I realize it. Yeah, I shouldn't be doing
right.
it.
Right.
Several shows on TV or whatever, then you become a couch potato, and it takes away from your other things. And life is a never so important a time management program, if you will. And in order to be whoever, whatever you do, there's nothing wrong with it if you so choose to do that. As far as the right things and whatever, but you have a certain amount of time allotted for certain things, and you have to balance out what is productive and what is not productive.
So Larry, when is your show on? Are you on every day?
Shows are at random.
Oh, they're at
random based upon my life schedule. I generally average about 15 shows per month, not counting all the interviews that I'm being interviewed on the various talk shows around the country and around the world. So it's random, and I'm going to probably try to define that more and locate it into a specific slot. That way, more people will be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I also wanted to mention things too, real quickly. That we're today's show. What we're doing is, and we might do this every once in a while, where we could schedule two or three readings after the show. That the regular price for people calling the show is $65 for a 60-minute session, and 30-minute sessions are $45. But if you book a reading with me after the show, right after the show, they'll be half off. So we're talking, what is half off of 65? I guess you could round off to 35. 35 for a 60-minute session, and I guess 25. Well, actually 45. What's half of 40? Yeah, I'm not really good at math, guys, okay? I'm just saying, right now, I can schedule two readings after the show tonight. And for people who are here right now, if you take advantage of that offer, instead of being the $65 and the $45, it will be half that. So if you want to schedule a reading with me, just email me in the chat room or send me an email through PayPal, or you can go to PayPal, pay your little thing, give me a call, and I can do the reading right after the show. So a little special there for you. So if you want to jump in on that whole thing, it'd be great. Especially since we're getting the end of February. It's kind of funny. This month is actually going pretty fast, but not as fast as I'd like it to in some days. I guess it's the day. It depends on what day we're talking about. But I just want to tell everybody that. Plus, we're also doing readings, guys. So if you want to call in and give some questions answered, the number here is 646-721-9031. And if you want to take advantage of the two readings I can schedule after the show, the number for that is 937-838-6337. And my website is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. So get in there and get that done. I think we're going to offer that like at least two or three times a week. So stay tuned. My guest today is Larry, which you prefer to be called by, Lawrence or Larry?
Lawrence or Larry works for me.
Okay. And right now our guest today is Lawrence J. King. He has a show here on Block Talk Radio called Book Talk, correct?
Yes.
And you've been doing it for, how long have you been doing your show, Larry?
Approximately since August of last year.
And
it's becoming more and more popular, and a lot of people are keying into that and getting some amazing guests on my show, for sure, guaranteed. And, I'm loving what I'm doing, so as long as you can do that, then it's pretty much okay.
That's the whole thing, isn't it, Larry? The idea of getting to do what you love to do, and I think when you do that, it doesn't really... it doesn't really take a lot of energy to do it right. You just love doing it, so you just give 100% automatically, spontaneously. So with the situation, yeah. So the idea of being in the service and that kind of stuff, was there any kind of mishaps that happened to you while you were in the military that you would like to talk about? I was asking the question, but sometimes certain topics can be a little touchy for people, so I'm not really sure how that works for you, Larry, but if you could share something with us, it'd be great.
Well, I've always been a rebel without a cause. Give me a cause and I'm all over it. And so, yeah, as I was in the military, I watched many of my peers become promoted ahead of me. But a lot of that was due to my behaviors at that point in time. And so I finally had enough, and one day in the company formation, another peer of mine was being promoted ahead of me, and so I let a few choice words and said basically out loud in front of the whole company, it's about bleeping time. You know, they did finally promote me, and when they called me up to get my new rank, I kindly said, it's about bleeping time, and I know you know what the bleeping part is.
Yeah,
so anyway,
I do.
I was told that, you know, I was lucky that I got promoted after letting those choice words come out of my mouth. And I asked for back pay, and they said, you know, you can kind of forget about that scenario. So, yeah, I've always been pretty much a rebel. I live life my own way, and no, that's not on my gravestone. And that's what I pride myself in being. They broke the mold when they made me, so I do what I do. I love to do what I do. And I try to keep it real and keep it honest and keep it going forward. So, yeah, the military was a wonderful experience for me. And I got to see so many wonderful countries, experience so much, you know, people, different cultures and things. But, yeah, there was a couple little glitches in the military. And come very enlistment time, I decided that that wasn't the course and path for me. So I got my honorable discharge and got out and chalked that up to experience.
Okay, Larry. Actually, we're kicking down here at it's 9 o'clock. That's actually 9:01 Eastern here. Today is February 22nd. I like the idea of February 22nd because and also it's 2011. When it comes to angel numbers, I have a thing about numbers. I feel like numbers are very spiritual too. And 222, actually 4 twos in a row, and then you could actually take the 2 ones and put them together and have additional two. Which means if everybody's focusing on it and they keep seeing the 222, that means that the things that you've been focusing on that you want to manifest are about ready to break through the surface. So don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens. It's just the idea of focusing. It's okay. You can have anything you want. Sometimes it's going to happen when it really needs to happen, which is always for the best interest of you personally. So if it hasn't happened, that means it's basically going to happen, but at the proper time. And a 222 has always been a good thing for me. And also 111s are the ideal, keeping your thoughts straight, keeping your focus positively on exactly what you're trying to manifest. 111s to me have always seemed like there's a vortex opening up of energy. So therefore, whatever you think, manifest very quickly. And I just want everybody to make sure that you got your thoughts straight, focused, positive, got it going, and everything's going good for you. I will admit there's sometimes that I have a tendency to be more judgmental about what's happening right now, like it's going to happen forever. You know, like we're not getting any clients. And for some reason you have that one little thought in your head that goes, will I ever get any more clients ever? Which we know that you will. We know that by the other week you're going to have exactly what you need to take care of all your needs, wants, and desires. It's just that for that 1 second, that can actually deter or actually push it back a little bit, so we say. So it's just you have to keep your mind straight, keep going forward, and go, okay, I can have exactly what I want, desire, and need, and I deserve it. So put that out there. I always sit there and say, oh, I always ask myself, Larry, I say, okay, Donnie, how you feel today? I feel great and respected. You know, so I kind of like try to set the positive thing off for the day. Do you have any things that you do yourself? Because I'm going to start doing some readings here. So you're more welcome if you get any kind of impressions or something like that and you want to stick around for that, you're more welcome to do. And like I said, I tell a lot of my clients, or not clients, my guests, sometimes they're not psychics, but they do pick up things with people. So if you feel like expressing yourself, I always say go ahead because it's coming to you for a reason. That's how it works with me. You know, I was walking to a grocery store and I started talking to this girl. I looked right in the face and she goes, I've been married twice and we were talking and stuff. I said, and you understand that your first marriage was actually you hiding from what you know you need to do with your life? And she's like, yeah, I know, but, you know, that's how it works for me. I just, whatever comes to me as I'm talking to somebody, I relay those messages. So I've always noticed that those things happen for a reason. They're hitting those people at a certain time because they're making some real important decisions in their lives. So everything helps. So, you there, Larry?
I'm here, and I'll hang out just a while longer. Thank you.
Okay, no problem, then. I was just going to say, what was I going to ask you? I went to that little thing. Anyway, guys, we're sometimes, you know. Today we are doing, like every day, we're going to do some readings, guys. So therefore, if you want to call and get a couple questions answered, the number is 96, that's mine. It's 646-721-9031. I got too many phone numbers in my head. Let's go to Craig. Craig is on line one. Craig, welcome
to
the show. Say
Good
hi.
Evening, how are you?
I'm doing great. Say hi to Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hi, Craig. How's it going?
It's going great.
So would you have any questions for Larry, or just you have a couple questions? I know you were talking about earlier when I was in the screening room with you, you were talking about relationship issues.
Well, it's not necessarily an issue. I would like to talk to a young lady who goes to my ministry. And
mm-hmm.
I've seen her like a couple of times. She caught my attention this past Sunday. And I just like to know if I approach her, make waste of my time, or something possibly there between us.
Mm-hmm. So you definitely felt a connection between the two of you.
I'm not sure if it's a connection. I think it's more like an attraction on her part. And she's extremely beautiful to me.
Okay. Well, usually what I do with situations, what I'm picking up is it's definitely a connection between the two of you. It might be an attraction connection. It might be an energy connection. I think there's more there to explore. I also think that she, to me, what I pick up with her, and this is something to take in consideration too. Would you happen to know what her first name is?
Jeanette.
I feel like Jeanette has a very strong personality too. Is Jeanette a loud person?
Again?
I get the impression that Jeanette can be a loud person. She's very, very vocal.
I'm not sure. Like, I never had that much of an interaction with her.
Okay. Well, I just feel like she has no problem speaking her mind.
Okay.
Okay. She's reserved when she's in church, but she seems to be what I would say is like seeing her being reserved and calm and that kind of thing in church, but when she's outside the church. She seems to take on a different personality. I feel like she can be really, really expressive. And I feel like that with her too, what would really get the ball rolling with you too is to be assertive. Not aggressive. I don't like the word aggressive. I get more that, you could say aggressive, but some people have a tendency to put a little bit of spin on that because of bad relationships they've had. So I would say more on the line of assertive. If you really came across and be assertive and very confident and exactly knowing what you want to do, what you want to talk about, how you want to pursue, whatever you are. She seems to take that as how would I put that? She just seems to be a person that's just respects that. If you come off any other way, she has a tendency to disrespect you. That's what I'm saying. If anybody hears any noises, it's actually me shuffling my cards. See, I get the idea of clairsentience, so you need to understand how you feel, okay? Like when you, I feel like with the situation, it's coming to a point where you want to do something. Introduce yourself. Yeah, and I get the impression you should do that in a very confident, straightforward way. It talks about noticing your reoccurring physical and your emotional feelings. When you're around this person, there are certain things that keep happening that keep prompting you and almost like pushing you. I feel like this is divine guidance coming strong, very clearly, giving you a nudge that you need to follow through with what you really want to do, because it's divine guidance that's telling you that you need to do this. Does that make sense to you? Huh? Okay. Any comments?
Well, for me, yes, it does. Because when I left her proximity on Sunday, I just said to myself, whenever I'm ready, I'm going to pretty much step to her like I've never stepped to a female before.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be known that I'm interested in you, that I think you're beautiful, and that I would like to get to know you on the personal and move from there. I'm going to be straightforward, direct, and the confidence is already embedded in me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with the situation in hand, it's almost like I call it two people complimenting each other. You know, sometimes the situation, you have a loud woman, you have a kind of a guy who's more reserved and that kind of stuff. But when you put them two together, they kind of balance each other out. So
right.
the girl who's kind of like really loud and can be obnoxious, it seems to balance her out to where she's not that way anymore, and she comes into more of her becoming of her, how would you put, more of her own. Self-awareness,
okay.
Self-acceptance. She, you know, it's like, I know who I am. I don't need to do that, because in some sense of the word, she feels threatened. But I don't feel like she feels that way with you, and she doesn't understand why. And I get the impression there's some things about you that you're curious about too that need to come together. I feel like it should be done. To me, it talks about, it's like, look at the cards. When I look at the cards are sort of going, you know, pay attention to your, it's clairsentient is the idea of paying attention to your feelings. And it says enchantment. Enchantment is more, not the ideal of enchantment as in Prince Charming and that kind of stuff. What it means is enchantment means the idea of anticipation of life unfolding in front of you. That when you're with this person, every day is an adventure. Every day is a journey. There's an anticipation of looking forward to spending more time with this person. You also sense there's a lot of balance between the two of you. It needs to be explored. That's why they're being pulled together. Okay? And then there's the card I already mentioned. It's self-acceptance. So it's like helping two people to accept certain things with their lives, with each other. But also in the idea of doing those things and understanding what those are all about, it brings two people closer together, almost like a healing experience itself. So it's the idea of paying attention to thoughts and ideals that keep coming to you, because they're coming to you for a reason. Especially when it pertains to this situation, but you should also pay attention to those, not just with this romantic relationship that I feel like is going to unfold, but I also feel like you need to trust that with all the things that you do, because there's some things that you do, but some things you don't. It's the idea of balance in your own life, is the idea of realizing this energy that you have and these angels and these guides and all this stuff coming together. It's for every part of your life. So therefore, you can get balance in your life. You can't have balance in your life if you have a bad career and a great relationship. There's going to be some kind of imbalance with you and whoever you're with. So it's the idea of trusting and learning and understanding that here's two people, and when they reflect each other, the more you learn to learn from those reflections, the closer you get. The more you ignore things and start being, I guess some people call it, egotistic, then you and then it pushes you apart. So it's the idea of trusting and understanding why you're brought together and respecting that and the person who's sitting across from you. Because I guarantee if you do that, you'll get it back every time. If you don't, this is also a sign that this is not the person for you. I don't feel like that's the way with this situation. I feel like this is a very good situation. Just the ideal of the whole thing is the ideal. I don't like the first part of this with me personally when it comes to relationships, that initial hello, how you doing? Am I going to get smacked? Should I duck? Kind of thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I understand exactly where you're coming from. And it's just, you know, that first initial introduction, it's always up in the air. But that was then. Now it's like I trust what I feel and what I do, so I come through. I mean, I was just at the store, and I looked at the lady right in the eyes and said, it might sound straightforward to you, but what did you think about when I walked through the door because you were looking at me? You know, that takes a lot of confidence to go, hello, I want to know why, you know, what are you thinking? And she looked at me, she goes, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean, what do I mean? Is there something you want to hide from me? And then there's something else you want to tell me? Or is there something more about the whole thing? And she was like, well, And I said, I'm really sorry if I'm being straightforward, but that's just the way I am. It gets quick answers. It also helps me realize what kind of a person that person is I'm talking to. Because if that person can't talk to me, or they shy away, or they don't want it, they're not strong enough. And it also tells you that with that kind of situation, especially since it's a female, I don't go there. If she can't answer me right back as much as I answered her, because I feel very confident and very strong at that moment. if she's not that way, it tells me that there's something more to it of me helping her in a situation, maybe answer a couple questions, something like that. But when it comes to her being a part of my life personally, I don't see it that way because she's not as strong as I am. I feel like that the initial movement in here in this relationship is after you make the initial movement, it's going to move very quickly because I think you two are on the same level. There's a very strong strength here. Does that make sense to you, Craig?
Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
So what you need to do is you need to make that initial, because I get this impression with you that you don't want to do that. You wish she would do it first. This would make it easier for you. Then
In a sense, she already did this past Sunday. We went to greet one another, and she came up to me and she asked me, did I bring my Bible? And the week before, my Bible, my pastor had cracked on me because I don't bring a book Bible. I use my Bible off my phone. And so he kind of spotted me and kind of called me on. And so when she asked me what, she said, did I bring my Bible? I kind of chuckled. I was like, yeah, it's in my back pocket. And kind of chuckled back. And I noticed that at the end of service, she was with a group of friends. And I was standing talking to a friend, but I noticed she kept circling my proximity. And I noticed she was kind of doing it on purpose.
Yeah, she was, because the idea of asking about your Bible had nothing to do with the Bible. It was just an idea of opening up a conversation. You know, it was kind of, I don't think she thought it through. I think she was like, well, I'll go ask about the Bible, that'll start things going. And when it didn't, it was like, okay, see you later. kind of like excusing herself. But, you know, it's one of those things, you're right, it did start, that was definitely an initial thing. So, therefore, since that's already happened, now it's your turn. But I'm just saying before, I just felt like you're like, okay, she needs to do it again, follow through. So, therefore, I know for a fact that's exactly what I felt the first time she did it. So, you know what to do. You really do. So, it's like I'm going to shuffle the cards for you real quick, too, and give you an additional card to go with. All right?
Okay.
But you already thought these things, so they're coming through and that kind of thing. And I just feel like you know exactly what you need to do. It's just the idea of accepting that and following through.
Why?
Okay. Okay. Okay, do you want me to cut this or leave it the way it is?
Cut it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, with this thing here, it talks, this is kind of a good card, too, because it talks about, it says patience. Patience is not in the sense that you're thinking, like having patience. It's the idea of having patience because your dreams are going to start blooming more rapidly than you realize. So it's the idea, once you make the initiative to go and follow through with this, it's going to happen very quickly. But you still need to nurture it, and you need to be patient with it. So when you also, so in the process, it's like in the process of getting your relationship started. It's the ideal of also understanding and being patient with yourself, not to push it. But it unfolds the way it's going to unfold. Don't do like these guys do, okay? A rose is like this. A rose, each petal kind of unfolds at its own little pace. And that's your relationship. So don't be like some of these guys who take the rose and smash on the table. I want it now. Boom, 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 you know? And that's what they keep saying to me. I'm not saying that you do that, but in the process of... See, a lot of times with people, when they get in really good relationships and they find love, they thought they had it before, but they didn't. So they have a tendency to be impatient, and they want to push it because they want it now. But they never really did have it before. So the anticipation can make you impatient to push things and push people and that kind of thing. I'm just saying... go ahead, sweetie. No, sir.
I had a problem with that in the past, and I was worried that... I had a major serious problem with that in the past, and I was worried that in the next relationship...
But you need to understand one thing, too. Right now, the one thing that's working against you is your fear of it happening again. Because it seems like with you just asking that question of yourself, you have worked through that. That is one goal that you don't want to do. So what you need to do is you need to trust your intuitions that certain things that follow through, certain things that she does, it's the idea of asking questions and asking her, in a nice, tactful way, why did you do that? And when she comes back, and maybe she might be a little defensive, just tell her, you have gone through things in your past that when you saw certain things that she did would make you think that because of what you've been put through that she's doing the same thing, that you're just asking a question. So the next time that she does that, you have something different in your mind to make a decision on, so you will overreact.
Okay.
It's the idea of communication. Okay?
And so, Craig, yeah, I'm not a psychic, but I'm a realist, and I've got a lot of experience in the female counterpart area, and it sounds to me like truly it is what you need to do. Maybe approach the situation as to say, you know, I'd like to get to know you better. Would you like to get to know me better? And if that is the case, then you guys can flow on down the road together. Yeah, you definitely need to make things happen in life, because if they're not meant to be, then you're not wasting any time, and you'll find that out in the swiftness, and then you can move on to different things. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So there you go, Greg.
Life's too short for the you-know-what, so make that happen, or at least attempt to make that happen.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All righty?
All right. Well,
I'd
like to thank you.
I'm just saying, if you get a chance, like I said before, we're having a special, that if you book a reading for after the show, I have this thing right now, $65 for a 60-minute session and $45 for a 30-minute session. But right now, if you get in there and schedule a reading for after the show, it's half that. So it'd be like about $30 for a 60-minute session. I think it would really help you. I do past life stuff in the midst of doing that too. And those are really good tools to find out some things about yourself in the past life that you brought to this one. So.
Okay.
Take it under consideration. I think I'm actually going to offer that for the next 3 days. So just tune into the show, and you can take advantage of that offer. So you know what you want to do. But I think you do have some information here, and I definitely feel like you should make an initiative move on this whole thing, because you're going to get good results, okay?
Okay.
All righty?
All right. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for the call, and you have a great night.
You too.
Okay. It's amazing how these switchboards drive me crazy with the things that stick on them.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to go on to our next caller, which is, I need to take a breather. Let's see here. 936. Trying to hit the clicker right. Hello, 936, area code. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. And what's your name?
Oh, I'm Sasquatch Spirit in the chat room.
Oh, thank you for calling in. I was just very curious about that name of yours. And how did you come up with that?
For the last 3 years, I've been experiencing the Sasquatch people in person, so they've helped me a lot.
Where are you calling from?
So, I'm in Texas.
Texas, yeah. I've actually heard stories in Texas. And there's been a lot of stories in New Mexico, too, as well. And then Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're all over the world, just like humans are, just known by different names. In Ohio, for instance, they call them the Ohio Grassman.
Yes, and my friend, when he saw that one standing up next to that tree, and he realized the first branch from that tree was actually 10 feet up, it was freaky. And what's your first name?
Yeah, my name's Thomas.
Thomas?
Yeah, Thomas, and there's one that I've seen in person, and I've measured his footprint from heel to toe. His foot is 21 inches long, so I would say he's probably 11 feet, maybe a little more from from foot to top of his head. He's big.
Yeah. Also, say hello to Larry too. Larry's with us today.
Hello, Larry.
Hi. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, if I was any better, I'd be in Nicaragua.
There you go, man. I always have an expression. I'd say if it got any better, I'd have to blow my brains out.
That's just right. Kidding, if I was a balloon, I'd pop right now.
Okay. I was sitting there. So, Thomas, do you have a question for us, or did you want to ask something of Larry?
No, I was just calling in to tell you a little bit about the Sasquatch people, if you want to take the time to do that.
And also, I want you to do me a favor, too, Thomas, on my morning show, which is actually called The Missing Spiritual Link. Next week, I think, we're actually going to have a couple shows where we're actually topping on Bigfoot. So if you get a chance, that's on 11 o'clock Eastern, 11 a.m. Eastern. So if you want to drop in on that show a couple times and give us some feedback on, you know, your experiences, the things, I'm pretty sure you have a lot of knowledge you can actually share with us. I mean, I've actually done my own research too, and well, and some of my own theories.
Hey,
go ahead, Larry.
I don't consider myself a researcher.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself an experiencer or an interactor, mm-hmm. because I interact with them, and they're people just like we are. Different type of people, but they're people.
Well, the situation, I mean, I was going to say, because I actually have a couple more people here that I want to do some readings for, but I just want to say to everybody who's on this queue right now that as long as you're on the queue, it doesn't matter even if the show goes off and we're not streaming anymore, I will definitely still answer your questions. I'm just very fascinated with just a couple questions with Thomas here about origination. I mean, do you have any idea where they originated from?
Not in particular. I know they've been on this planet longer than humans have. And it's because of the things that have happened in the past, which will become apparent here in the short future.
Mm-hmm.
Things that happen, they split the things that happened with humans on this planet. There was a time when we very much lived with the Sasquatch people. And that time is coming again where we'll be able to walk out in the woods and they'll just sit down with us and have a nice lunch or whatever and talk with us.
Mm-hmm.
Those times are coming again.
Thomas, I want to ask one question. There's one question.
Sure.
It's a real strong curiosity, okay? I didn't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry. But
okay.
How do you think the Sasquatch feel? And I'm not trying to be funny in no sense of the term, okay? I'm just asking a question because I feel like in some ways, like with movies, and now we have commercials with Sasquatches in them, which could be if you were a person in that position, in some ways you feel like you're being used. And I'm just curious, I mean, if they would even know of anything like that. But I've seen these commercials with this, what is it, beef jerky or something, the Sasquatch, and I think that's what it is.
Yeah, messing with Sasquatch.
Yeah, messing with Sasquatch, yeah. So I was just kind of curious how you felt about that. You think it might be a little bit of exploitation there?
Well, obviously, that's a form of exploitation. But you know, they think they're humorous because they're able to see those commercials through people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They're very much where humans developed towards technology. They very much went towards being a part of the land and being very spiritual because they understand how things operate. So it's not uncommon for them to look right into a human's mind and watch television through the human's brain and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why they don't reveal themselves here on this continent to people, because they don't want to be exploited like their neighbors were. See, their neighbors were the American Indians. And they watched as the American Indians were rounded up and exploded themselves. So they don't want to be in that category.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy time in history.
Yeah.
We also had the same, you know, as you were talking about that too, I was thinking about unicorns. And in the sense of supposedly the story goes that the reason you don't see unicorns anymore is because they've just developed certain abilities to be undetected by humans, because humans exploited them for their horns. And there's actually references in the Bible toward unicorns. So the idea of certain creatures and beasts and animals and different humanoids, I guess you'd say. There's a lot of sources to be traced back if you really want to look at that. Larry, let me ask you, are you there?
Yes, I'm still there.
I mean, with the situation with the things Thomas is talking about, have you ever had any encounters of your own or certain events that you guess you would happen in your life that you can't really explain logically?
Absolutely. I think we all had that experience more or less. I've been out in the woods before, and I know someone is there watching me, and I don't know who it is or what it is. And, yeah, for sure. And I've always been intrigued by the Sasquatch or the Yeti or the Bigfoot. I've
mm-hmm.
heard many stories about it. And so, I would not rule it out. And as this individual is saying, he's actually had some encounters with that, which would be highly interesting. And so I would like to invite him on my show also to talk about those experiences.
Well, I've got my own show that I do. If you just click on the Sasquatch Spirit in the chat room and hit my BTR profile, you'll see that I do a show 3 or 4 times a week with American Indians and different guests. Once in a while, I actually have a Sasquatch guest on, like the recent one I did with Connie. She's in Iowa, been experiencing the Sasquatch people for about 50 years, and she just keeps her mouth closed, but I got her to come out and talk. Arla Williams, if you look on there, you'll see the archive of that, and she's in Oklahoma, and she's been experiencing the Sasquatch people since she was 7, and she's 60 years old now, so over 50 years there, and she just doesn't talk about it. She does now. She's starting to talk about it more because people need to know. I'm a newbie in this genre because I've only been experiencing them for 3 years now, but I tell you, I've labeled myself their pet human. And when I go out in the woods, well, you know, in October I had a group of 15 people come here, and it got quiet around the fire one night. We'd been talking and it got quiet, and we heard my Apache brother's igloo lid open on the back of his truck about 60 yards through the woods. And so we hear him chopping off through the woods to see why they're messing with his cooler, and we hear beer bottles tinking left or right going out in the woods away from us. So he came and sat back down, and I said, how many did they get? He said, they took 4. And I wouldn't be mad about it, but I paid real money for that beer. So they took 4 beers out of his cooler, and everybody got to hear that. You know, and two of the women that were here, I was sitting with them on the pier at the pond, and the one woman from Washington State, she kept elbowing me and saying, look, and I'm like, I don't have to look to know that they're there. So she opened her cell phone slowly and snapped a picture of a 2-foot-tall man about 80 feet away watching her and the woman from Connecticut. And if you look at Beth, the show I did with Beth back in December, I had her talk about her experiences while she was here. But yeah, the little people are out there in the woods. I guess throughout times the Indians call them brownies or rainbow right. people. The Irish people call them leprechauns. And then, of course, the Ewoks are out there from, like, Return of the Jedi, the 3 to 5 feet tall, hair-covered hominoids. And I've seen them in person off in a different direction from here. But my family has 900 acres of woods down the road here from me, and that's where I've had my experiences at.
That's incredible. Not just the Bigfoot. We got, you know, you've had encounters with other different, I don't know what you call them, cultures? You're on the planet.
No, just a different type of people is what
different
I call them. I call them Ewoks because George Lucas labeled them that name in Return of the Jedi. That's where you first got to see Ewoks, and they're about 3 to 5 feet in height, and they're very mischievous. They love playing pranks on people. My Apache brother, again, is the brunt of a lot of jokes, and he was working at a job site, and they kept stealing his lunch. And the male that would steal his lunch would wait till he turned around to look for it, and he'd see the 4.5-foot-tall man with black hair all over his body, and then that's when the short man would go, ha, like that, and take off running through the woods. Because he was lunch and his soft drink. So. He quit stealing he quit stealing his lunch when my brother made a sandwich with some X-Lax in it. That's when they quit stealing his sandwiches. But, yeah, they do things like that.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hey, that would fix them. They want to play pranks, so play some pranks back.
Well, the biggest thing that's happened over time is obviously nowadays with Hollywood, but even in the past, people would look at them as monsters. And that's the last thing they want to impress on anyone or give the illusion to, is that they're a monster, because they're not.
Okay.
They're not a monster at all. And they have feelings just like we do. And so when I saw that Sasquatch female back in April of 2008, that was the first time I saw one, and she was about my height. I'm 6'7" inches tall, and she was about my height. And the first thing I thought was, my God, how can anybody call them monsters? She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And she was.
Right.
You know, she was close enough to where I could see the six-pack or all the stomach muscles underneath the hair as she went jogging by in the woods. But, yeah, I could see individual stomach muscles. I was impressed at how big her legs were. I'm like, my God, she could probably squat about 1,000 pounds or more. But, you know, and I've got photographs of oak trees that are, you know, 8 inches in diameter, and they're broken about 5 feet above the ground and pushed over to where the top is touching the ground. So that's how much strength some of the males have. They can just break a tree about 5 feet above the ground. And, you know, if you tried to do that with a tractor or a machine, you'd pull that oak tree out by its roots.
Hmm.
Oak is a strong wood because we make furniture out of oak trees. But,
right.
Yeah,
that's
how strong they are.
Huh. Yeah, like I said, Thomas, you're more welcome to come on the show in the morning or, you know, because that's what we do on our 11 o'clock show in the morning, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We talk about this.
What's the name of the show again?
It's called The Missing Spiritual Link. We actually talk about a lot about Atlantis.
Missing Spiritual Link.
Yeah, we're trying to do a show where I'm putting it together now where we can actually trace Bigfoot and a lot of creatures that actually originated from Atlantis, as in all being one living together as one civilization. Try to say that one. Yeah. So, it'd be great to have you come on and just kind of give your insights. I'm trying to plan it for the 28th.
Sure. And okay. And feel free to contact me through BTR and listen to some of the archives of my show. Arla Williams and Connie Gilbert. Both of them have had experiences with Sasquatch a lot longer than I have, so
okay.
Like I said, I'm a newbie to this. But,
and what's the name of your show?
The name of my show is Sasquatch and Spirituality.
Oh, Spirituality. I can't even spell that. That's pretty bad. Spirituality. Okay, no problem. I will definitely check that out. And Larry said he also would like to have you on his show, too, as well.
Yeah, what was the name of his show again?
My show is called Book Talk Radio. I highlight local, regional, national, and international published authors, musicians, and persons of interest on my show.
Okay, Book Talk Radio?
Yes.
Book Talk, yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to get to these
things.
Good.
I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll let you get to the people that want readings. I appreciate you giving me a chance to speak about my hairy brothers and sisters.
Oh, no problem, man. Like I said, come back anytime. It's just the idea. I got a couple of people here that, and the reason I stress it, because I feel like there's some stress to go with those situations I would like to address, and I like to come back and actually do like I did with Larry. I do a lot with my guests when they come on the show, is give them at least an hour to 45 minutes for themselves that way, so you can have more time. Then we can address it even more and get into the details of the Sasquatch and that kind of thing and give people a different perspective about the whole thing. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call, and y'all have a good night.
Well, you too.
I'll do the same. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank
you. Okay, let's go into area code 724, and before we go on real quick, I'm going to tell everybody, I still got 21 minutes, so call in, get you a couple questions answered, and also after the show, if you book a reading with me after the show, instead of the original 65 and 45, it will actually be half of that, so take that in consideration and get your reading. And then we'll go on to our next caller, and if you want to call in here, it's 646-721-9031. Also, for the private reading, just give me a call. After the show, if you want to book one, that number is 937-838-6337. And let's go on to area code 724. Welcome to the show. And what's your name?
Carol.
Carol.
Hi.
Say hi to Larry. Larry? Carol.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. I have a question. There's been some distance between me and my boyfriend, and I want to know how it's going to go.
I get the impression it's temporary. It's just what it comes to me is temporary and regrouping. So I feel like it's just a pullback time to give somebody a chance to think about some things, not just with you, but just a lot of things in general. I don't know. I get a lot of things that have really changed in his life recently. I'm almost getting like some added stress. Does that make sense, Carol?
Well, to a degree, it does. I just because I didn't know if he's moving on with somebody else, or you know, I didn't know what was going on because he's just been distant, quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
The answer I get is there's nobody else. It's just the ideal of one going within himself. They also caution me to tell you that you, it's like relax sometimes with situations, because we're talking about days here, maybe weeks. I don't feel like it's been that long, and I don't feel like it's going to be that long. It's just the idea of looking at things, and I guess it's also the idea of getting a cap on your fears. Does that make sense to you?
On my fears?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, because I don't know that I have fear about anything. I mean, just my finances, but that's almost everybody in America.
That is true, too, Carol, but what I'm getting here at the situation, the guidance I'm picking up on is the idea of fears. There's, like, certain things that have happened in the past with certain relationships.
Okay.
And sometimes they come to the surface in the form of worry.
Okay.
So when you worry about something, that's actually it can be traced back to a fear that you have. Okay. In the sense of also almost like it's almost like you're saying, okay, I'm not going to deal with this because you're scared that fear might actually manifest. So what you're doing is it's like a little bit of sabotage. You didn't follow through with it, but I'm just saying the thought and the energy that put into it did happen. So it's just the idea of looking at that kind of thing and say, okay, maybe I do have some fears, because it's interesting to say that you have no fears at all. You must go back.
I'm just saying,
every time something happens like that, you have to ask yourself, okay, why did I think that way? Why did I think that, okay, it's only been a couple of days and I'm already thinking he's already off with somebody else?
Well, I have, you know, just by the way he's been acting and talking, I just wondered what's going on. And I, you know, I think if he needs to say something, he needs to say it. And, you know, he's being very quiet and backward, and I'm thinking, what in the world's going on?
Well, you could do like my daughter's done when she wants to get her point across. She grabs me by the sleeve of my shirt and she goes, "Tell me what's really going on," you know. So.
Well, but I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to pry either. I figure if he wants to say something, he needs to say it.
That's true.
You know.
I'm just saying, Carol, it wouldn't hurt to ask. I mean, I always say in situations like this, when you want answers, go to the source. And I feel like this is also a thing of just. I'm just saying, and what I do. When I do relationship counseling with people, this is the one thing I do work with people, usually with both of them, that they both need to speak their minds, and when they have a curiosity or something bothers them, they need to get in a situation to basically motivate themselves to ask the questions. Because, you know, some reason we're not asking the questions, because in some sense of the word, we're scared of the answers. Not realizing
maybe.
That we, yeah, well, I'm just saying, situations we've been in before, we've asked the questions, we've gotten some bad answers. But a lot of times we've also asked the same questions and then found out it wasn't as bad as we thought. But when we asked, that relief was taken away. That's what I'm saying here. If you don't want to do that, and Carol, I know you. You've called before. You are who you are. And if you want to stick by what you do, then I also say, you know, you have free will and you do what you feel like you should do and what your gut and what your intuition tells you that you need to do. So if you feel like in this situation that he needs to come to you and talk to you because he's having some issues, then you stick to your guns and you follow through with what you feel too. Because I really feel that's a very strong sense of the word, too. People can tell you all kinds of stuff, but you have to be comfortable with it, with yourself.
Right.
And if you don't feel like doing that, then I definitely recommend you listen to your own intuition if it says, stay right here. Because he needs to come to me, and you stick to your guns and stick right there. Because I really do that. There are some times in your past where you haven't stuck up for your own beliefs.
Right.
So you're learning to do a lot of those things on your own. And you're doing a very fantastic job at it, so don't think you're not.
Okay. But you don't think this is serious? You think he'll come back around?
Yeah, I do. Because I keep getting it's just temporary.
Okay.
It's like a cycle. It's almost like take a life review and ask yourself, has he done this before?
Right.
And if it has, it's like a... I don't like that man cave thing, but... Some people have a tendency to do things in different ways and just pulling back and just regrouping and thinking about what's going on. And it just doesn't mean you. It's just life in general, you know? This has been going on, that's been going on. It could be something you don't even know about, that someone said something to him that sparked something within himself that he hadn't done with, not really had to deal with for like 8 or 10 years. I knew I had a friend of mine who did Reiki on me, and she started bringing up, as she was doing the Reiki on me, she started picking up images and stuff of when I drowned, I drowned when I was 10 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so when those things started coming back up, instead of getting offensive and looking at her saying she was crazy, I just said, those things haven't come up in many years. So I was looking for answers at the time, and those came up very strongly, so I decided to look and see where they took me at. So I actually had a life regression in this lifetime instead of a past life.
Right.
It took me right back to that time and to realize I was still hanging on to guilt.
Let me ask you, I want to ask you something that I've been trying to find an answer for. I don't know if you know it, you may or you may not.
Right.
Have you done past life regressions?
Yes, I have.
You've been through them. All right, this is what I want to know. They say, from what I've read and from what I've listened to, a lot of people listen to many speakers, that, you know, death is not that big of a deal. You know, it affects you, but it doesn't affect you. You know, you die, you go on and everything's happy-go-lucky. This is my question. This is what I don't understand. Okay. If that is the case, if that is the factual case, then why is there imprints from when you died before? Coming with you now. Why is that?
Why are those? Well, we also had a thing about, we were talking about the back in the day, when you did some research on the brain was very small. And now the brain is actually like, I think, 10 times bigger than it was before. A primitive man, and right now, almost the majority of the brain itself is basically detailed for memory. So it seems like over the centuries, our brains have gotten bigger with the capacity to remember more. And I think it's because of these things that we're still remembering certain issues and stuff.
But why would we remember the issues and not the good times? You know what I mean?
Well, it depends too, sweetie, because I mean, I've been in situations where I've actually ran into people, not through a regression or anything. When I worked in my shop in Colorado, I actually ran into several people that I had past lives with. Well, we would talk like we were best friends. Like, I hadn't seen them in weeks, but I hadn't seen them in centuries. I had a lady walk in my shop, and I can't remember her name to this day, but I can remember her. I can remember what we talked about. I can remember the 10 or 11 lifetimes we spent together, and they were really good times. I think it's one of those things but I also do this work all the time, and I've come to a point of opening my mind up to a lot of things. And I'm not saying people are closed-minded in a sense, but people are in many different levels of belief of what they, you know, what those things are really about. And I think the more open-minded you are, the more you're willing to let things in, that those people cross your path too as well. And maybe so there's some things that, given the good things, sometimes people just don't want to remember those past lives. And it could also, there's many meanings too. It's like the idea, what did you come back for? In one sense of the word. Because you basically make it, it's like, if you've ever seen that movie, What Dreams May Come, where Robin Williams is, he's died, he's gone, he's in heaven and stuff. And you see, there's a certain part where you decide to come back. For whatever reason it is, and sometimes we pick up issues that we didn't really work on because we were working on other things, but we acquire certain things by working on those spiritual things too. So, but you know, but there were certain things about Robin Williams in that movie too, that he had to come to a certain level to remember the good times.
Because if you really look at society in a certain sense, especially right now, everybody wants to focus on the bad, the negative. I mean, news, television, even reality shows. Who wants to watch reality? That's why I watch movies, to get away from reality, you know, that kind of thing.
I know.
So, you know. So, you know, that's my philosophy on the whole thing, saying, you know, come on. But we're so focused on the lack of and the negative part that people can't conceive that in our past lives. They always want to, the first thing people want to know in past life regressions is what I did wrong and how I died. It's not it wasn't how I lived. I want to know why I suck at pool. Can I trace it back to a lifetime? You know, they don't want to sit here and look about how much money they made in that lifetime, that you're a millionaire. They want to look at the bad stuff and say, okay, I screwed on this.
Maybe because they want to fix it. Maybe because they want to get it fixed right now, so they don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, they're looking for the positive. And I know for a fact that with some people I've worked with, the more they start focusing on those lifetimes or those negative things that they went through that helped them with this lifetime, it enables them to also focus on the positive things that have happened in their lifetime this time. Okay?
Yeah, I just wondered, because I mean, this is just something that I've been curious about, and I have researched and researched. If I want to know something, I don't let it go easily.
Right.
So I figured I'd just ask you, you know, what the heck.
Hey, no problem.
All right, well, listen, I got to go. You have a very good evening.
Thank you.
Okay, all right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Donnie?
Yes, you got to go?
Not exactly. A friend of mine just came in, and they were highly interested in picking your brain about a quick kind of a scenario. Can you possibly make that happen before we go away?
Yeah, sure, no problem. Is it okay if I take this last caller and then I can talk to them?
Well, it would be, in a perfect world, it would be awesome, but my phone is saying recharge battery, so I'm thinking that it's going to die sooner or later. So it's your call, my friend.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, let's hear what they got to say.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, no big deal. We'll sit here and see what's up. And I want to talk to the – well, let me do this real quick. And we'll sit here and see what, okay, the lady on the line, we will definitely get with you. I just want to do this real quick reading, and then we're going to get to you. And this is 647 area code. And I think you're Canada. So give us about 5 minutes and we'll get right to you, okay? Stay right there, because I guarantee if you're in the queue, we will get to you, and we'll answer that question for you. So go ahead, Larry.
Okay, I'm Larry's friend. My name is Liz.
Liz?
Hey, yeah, and I just walked in the door, and I knew he was going to be talking to you, but I didn't get here early enough. And anyway, he's asking me, he said, see if we can get a reading from him. I said, okay.
Yeah, go right ahead. I mean, is there a certain topic that you want to top on, that kind of stuff? And Liz, do they call you Elizabeth?
No, that is my birth given name, but everyone calls me Liz. Only my mom and my brother call me Elizabeth.
Okay, so there are two people who call you Elizabeth. And I also get the nickname Lizzie. I get one person who can get away with that. That's what it came to me.
Yeah, my cousin, I actually lost away with it, so.
Mm-hmm. You actually what? Go ahead, say it again.
I do have several cousins that get away with it.
Okay. I'm just saying there was one particular person that doesn't get any slack from it, but that's the only person. And yeah, so with your situation and that kind of stuff, you know, you're really hard on yourself too, and you should stop doing that.
Yeah.
Yes. If you had a question to ask me right now, what would it be?
Well, the question would be, I want to say a job I have right now. What is the moment?
Say it one more time.
How would I? Yeah, what would be the outlook on the job that I have right now?
I'm surprised you're still there.
I feel like there's
yeah.
a lot of, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of stress on your shoulders. The way it comes to me is I see a boss that you have. The way it comes, the way the picture I see it is he's standing on your shoulders.
Yeah, I think in some ways, yes. Uh-huh.
Well, it's one of those things about some people, sometimes things come in different ways and people are breathing down your neck. But I also feel like he takes a lot of credit for your work.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what I'm saying. The thing that came to me was, once you really start directing your attention on what you really want to do and where you want to be at, that's where you'll be. And I know people say, well, you're trying to talk like Tonto or something. But it's really the serious thing about focusing on what you really want. I feel like you're in this job because of certain fears of security.
Yeah, in some ways. In some ways. Well, I also have an elder parent that's in, she's now in hospice care, so that's adding a lot of more stress to the situation.
That's true. It's just, you know, if everybody could get to the point of letting things not bother them at all and just express yourself accordingly, a lot of things would change very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to think, we have to express ourselves in a certain way because that's the humanity thing about the whole thing. But loving and caring somebody is also being strong and being there for them. And I feel like that's what she needs more than anything else.
Yeah.
Not to feel sorry.
Yeah, right now.
Yes. Not to feel sorry.
Right now.
Yes, right now. It's one of the strengths that she's. It's almost like she's looking to tap into somebody for not just support but energy. It's almost like she has a way of healing herself. She just can't do it.
I think she does. That's probably through me.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that sometimes we need to tap into somebody else who's not more perfect than us, but have no issues like that, so we can actually use that as a pattern. It's like a computer with a corrupt programming tapping into another computer to basically heal itself. And that's what she's
Correct.
Looking for. Right, and that's what you do. So therefore, but sometimes you have a tendency not to do that because you don't want to be selfish.
That's right. That's right.
And I call that self-preservation.
Yeah.
You know, see, the ideal selflessness. The ideal selflessness. Think about this. Selflessness is an empty term. Why? Because you're taking self out of it. Now change it to give of oneself, and then it makes sense. And it's still not being selfish. But you cannot give
okay.
of yourself. You cannot give of yourself if you don't take care of self. You cannot
right.
love unless you love yourself. So therefore,
right.
you have something to give. And that's what the whole thing is here. It's like, it's also looking at your career and your job. Love yourself. And then ask yourself, would you stay there? You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's a hard question to answer. You need to be hard.
I know, but you need to do that. You need to find balance in your life. And right there, you feel very unbalanced. You feel like
yeah.
people are taking from you. This person does not respect you. And in the sense of people around you that are disrespecting you, it's because you haven't taken the proper procedures to do things for yourself, so therefore you're not respecting yourself. Now, these are not insults or judgmental things. It's the ideal look at it. It could be a right or wrong answer. I know it's a hard thing to look at people and go, okay, I need to look at myself. Yes.
Because
mm-hmm. it keeps talking about noticing reoccurring physical and emotional feelings. This is divine guidance. It's pointing in the direction, and you feel like you need to move on.
Yeah, I do. Some point in time.
Mm-hmm. I feel yeah. like a lot of things in your life would also... I want to say one thing real quick, guys. Thank you all for being on the show, and you guys stay right there. I just want to thank everybody who has been here. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. All the people out there listening, thank you very much for being here. It's been a really good, great, awesome show. Thank you, Larry, for being with us. And,
thank you.
And I'm sorry, sweetie. What is your name?
Liz was her name, and be sure to send me a direct link to that show so I can put it on my storyboard, darling.
No problem. I will definitely do that. And like I said, I want to thank everybody for being here. And like I always say, at the end of every show, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And Larry?
Yes.
Are you guys leaving? Well, tell Liz that she just needs to sit here and focus and say, hey, I am who I am, so therefore to be who I am, I need to move on. I also feel like there's some relationship issues going on too. But I feel like, I'm just saying, once she makes a decision to do what she wants to do with herself and makes that it's like coming to a realization, that's what I need to do and follow through as Canada's gone, and do that, everything else will start changing in a positive way too.
Absolutely, yeah. We're holding back on a couple of things as we speak. A couple of things have to come together, and then we can be free to roam about the area.
Okay. No problem. So, yeah, I'll definitely send that link to you.
All right, I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for being here tonight, and you're more welcome to come back anytime.
Absolutely, and I'll get you on my show at some point.
Yeah, and I'll do a reading for you when I come on your show. How's that?
Absolutely. We'll get some people calling in and pick your brain about some things. And other than that, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, man. You have a great night. Thank you again.
Oh, you do the same.
Bye-bye now. I'm sorry, guys. Where'd you guys go? If you would have just stayed on. Okay, private readings. Everybody's gone. Can I arrange for a past reading tomorrow? You guys are all going. Yes. Tamara, I didn't see you. Yes. You can. Why don't you guys just give me a call at 937-838-6337. I'd love to do one for you, man, but you guys got to stick around. Oh, crazy. I don't know, man. Sheesh.